This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE-FM. I'm Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York's largest public employee union. We've got 125,000 members and nearly 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also available as a podcast on iTunes. Simply go to the podcast app on your iPhone or iPad and search for DC 37 State of the Union. And there are now more ways to stay in touch with us. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out the website, www.dc37.net. And if you've got any comments about our show, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. We've been off for a couple of weeks. The end of the summer. We've got a lot of interesting things happening coming up in September. So wanted to let listeners know what's happening. With us in the studio now is the Director of Community Partnerships for DC 37, Raul Rodriguez. Welcome to the show.
Morning, Chris. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I wanted to talk about the Labor Day parade and other things that are happening, but I want to begin by asking, what's the significance of having community partnerships?
Oh, well, community partnerships is something that we have had all along. I believe that you can't have a union without having partnerships. And we have taken it so far beyond that concept, where we have established committees, we work with different religious organizations, with the Labor Faith Community Outreach Program, we work with different coalitions in the community of issues that are affecting people at large in the community. And at the end of the day is to show the community that is not only about our union members.
And our union members, let's be clear, are part of the community.
Oh, absolutely.
And what happens to those communities affects them the city at large.
Affects them directly. Right. So what we've taken is a whole different, I mean, it's not a new approach. It's just we've taken it to the next level. So we have issues with housing. So we're part of the NYCHA coalition. We have issues with, there are certain things that CUNY needs to be fixed. So we work with the CUNY Rising coalition in different issues. It's so many different things that affect our community in different ways. The same issues you have in the South Bronx and Hunts Point are not the same issues that you have in the northern part of the Bronx over by Co-op City, right?
Right.
So we take all those issues, and in collaboration with political action and the community associations, we bring those issues to light and we focus on those issues and move forward.
The DC 30, we're talking about the DC 37 community associations, which enables us to go into different parts of the city and talk to our residents, our members who are residents in those parts of the cities, and to get a better understanding of what the issues are.
Right. So it's not so much talking to them, it's also listening to them.
But there you go.
Right? Okay. So that's what I'm saying. We're taking that approach to a whole different level. We come in, we sit down, we have a conversation, we share information with them, and at the same time, we listen to them. Because, believe it or not, a lot of our members got the answers to a lot of our issues.
Well, you know, it's true. The number of times I hear, not necessarily on community stuff, but in terms of dealing with management, it's like, why don't they talk to us? We are doing this work. We have ideas about how to fix that. And the union, the union has been, you know, focusing on making sure that the members' voices are heard in these issues.
Of course.
September 8th is an important day because we've got the Labor Day parade. It gets a little bit confusing because it's always been the weekend after Labor Day.
Don't
conflict with the Caribbean Day parade in Brooklyn, in part.
I want to say maybe.
Okay.
I want to say maybe. But yes, the Labor Day parade is Saturday, September 8th. Okay. And is the one here in the city.
Right.
It's not the one in Brooklyn.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And for me, it's a great important day. It's one of the most important days of the year for me. And I make it a family affair. And this is my call to all members. Make it a family affair. Come out with your families. Right. Come out with your kids. My kids love, okay? Right. I have a 13-year-old that knows more about union and organizing than most organizers, okay? And she's in the front picture of the picture that we use for our media, okay? She's in the front. She's to the left of the banner.
Okay.
In that picture, and she loves that, and she looks forward to this. Why? Because she knows how important it is for Daddy to have a union job, because Daddy gets to go home on the weekends.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Daddy has holidays off.
Right.
Daddy has vacation. Daddy has good health care. So she knows the importance of it. She knows she comes out. She celebrates it. I want all of our members to come out with their children, with their spouses, okay? If they have any special requests because of any special need, to just contact us and let us know. So maybe we can facilitate
need. Let's get into the nitty-gritty of the details. This is Saturday, September 8th. We meet. Where do we congregate? Where is the DC 37 contingent get together? That's Fifth Avenue. And...
Yep, no. So we get together on West 44th Street between 6th and 7th.
Okay. And what time do we start together?
8:30.
All right. It's an early morning.
It's an early morning, but we finish early too.
Okay. Well, so that's helpful.
We're not going to be there at 3 o'clock waiting to march. No.
My sense is that it has gotten bigger in the last couple of years.
Oh, it has. It has. It definitely has, because, again, in our country, it is a lot of people has definitely come together, and, you know, they answering the call to count them in.
Well, I saw good news. I was on Twitter this morning, and a Gallup poll just came out that labor, 62% of the American public approves of labor, which is like the first time in 15 years, the highest it's been in 15 years. And I remember that when I got to Washington after Barack Obama was elected, it was much lower than that, and people really did not, you know, people had a totally different impression of what unions were about.
Absolutely.
And it's been a rough road, but I think that in the conditions that we have now, people understand what it means to live in a country without unions.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And also understand the value of the union now, right? So, you know, having a pension after you give your employer 20, 30 years of your life,
right?
Okay, and being able to walk away with a pension to live in dignity, right? It's huge, and it's a big concern to a lot of our folks,
right?
You know, and one of those biggest things that we have is, especially when I talk to people in the community, is, oh my God, because of my union, I was able to do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Because
of
my union, I didn't lose my job when whatever happened at my agency. So I think that people are definitely approving more of the message of unions, especially in the communities also.
What I want to make sure we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left. I want to make sure anything you want to talk about in terms of upcoming events.
Oh, absolutely. I got a ton.
Okay.
I'm inviting all of our members. Again, this is a call to action. Okay. This is your day. This is the day that we have once a year to celebrate you as a labor member. Okay. Come out with your families on Saturday, September 8th. We're going to be located at West 44th Street between 6th and 7th. We're going to start at 8:30 a.m. Please do not drive. There's no parking.
Right.
Okay. And if you have any questions, you can call 212-815-1502. That is 212-815-1502, the Office of Community Partnerships. We have our monthly Labor Day, our monthly labor and community outreach meeting that is going to be this coming up Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month. It is at DC 37 headquarters, and it starts at 6 p.m. So it is this Wednesday, September 5th, 6 p.m. in room 7. Okay? And
again, if anybody's got questions about any of this stuff,
absolutely. They can call 212-815-1502.
Okay.
Labor Day Mass, this is one of the most beautiful events that I've ever attended at St. Patrick's Cathedral, okay, because it's one of the chances that we see so many different union affiliates walking with their banners and their members, and they're there to have their mass in the morning. And
this, is before the parade.
This is before the parade. So that starts off at 8:30 a.m., and is at St. Patrick's Cathedral, which is 5th Avenue and 51st Street.
Now, okay, if folks, let's just be clear on this. If folks are supposed to gather at 8:30, beginning at 8:30, how did they get to the mass at 8:30? So, because there's like a, there's a few blocks.
There's a little bit of a distance. So it's usually what we've always done is that we have a small contingency go to the mass.
Okay.
Whoever feels like going to the mass, they can go to the mass, and the rest of the people can just start gathering at 44th Street. Also, on student debt. Student debt is a huge crisis in our country. We're facing many different changes every single day, and obviously not to our favor. So I encourage all of our members that have student debt, that have it for themselves or co-sign for one of their child or loved one, to attend our next student debt workshop, which is September 18th at 5:45 p.m. at the Union Headquarters, 125th Barclay. Also, if they have any questions, they can contact 212-815-1502.
You can also check out the website, www.dc37.net, to find out what's going on. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
That's fine. Okay. And if you want more information on student debt, you can check out the website, www.dc37.net/student-debt.
Okay, there you go.
So... absolutely.
So it's www.dc37.net/student-debt. Okay.
Okay. And you'll find more information. Also, you can register there. It is a good idea to register before you attend the workshop, just so you can get an email confirming your attendance. And also, extremely, extremely important, this is a benefit for union members only. So please bring your union card.
Okay.
Okay. You have to bring your union card.
Okay. All right. Anything else before I let you go?
I just want to thank you for having me here.
It's been a pleasure. The time always goes very quickly. And we want you to come back anytime to talk about any of the events that you're doing. The Office of Community Partnerships, as you say, it's very important. We are part of the community, and we care about the communities.
Absolutely.
Of the state of New York.
And don't forget to come out and vote on September 13th.
Okay. The man came with a checklist, and I like that. Raul Rodriguez is the director of the Office of Community Partnerships at DC 37. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Chris.
Joining us now by the phone is John Foster. He's the co-chair of the DC 37 Climate Justice Committee. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you.
I'm calling to ask you about, we're talking today about Climate Justice Committee and the event that is upcoming in September. So take it away.
Okay. Well, I think as people are beginning to realize, climate change is becoming one of the most dangerous issues of our time. The District Council 37 Climate Justice Committee has been around for over 6 years. We helped organize the huge march in New York City in 2014. We sent two buses down to Washington, D.C. in 2016. And this coming Thursday, September the 6th, we are asking people to join us at the We Rise for Climate, Jobs, and Justice March that is going to occur at 5:30 in Battery Park in Lower Manhattan. The intent here is to push Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio and other politicians to bring a stronger and more urgent message to the Global Climate Summit Conference that's going to be occurring in San Francisco in the middle of September, that's being called by Governor Jerry Brown. And as part of that, there are three major demands for the September 6th march. One is a just transition to 100% renewable energy now, a halting of all fossil fuel infrastructure, and making corporate polluters pay. This has been an incredibly important time. We begin to see climate change as being increasingly impacting us, and I think it's important that people can come out on September the 6th, 5:30 in Battery Park, and join us. We've also been working as a committee on a variety of other forums. We've done forums on environmental justice here at District Council 37. We did a forum on the disaster in Puerto Rico, which continues, and people should not forget. And this October, we're going to do a forum that will showcase the incredible work that DC 37 members do in almost every agency in this city in terms of fighting climate change, whether that's putting water retentions on school roofs or whether that's creating new salt marshes or bioswales in the streets. There's a tremendous amount of work that DC 37 members are doing and have been doing, and I think the public needs to know that.
This has been something that you've been pushing rather strongly. Clearly, listen, unfortunately, you're right. Right. I mean, like, I wish I didn't need to be wrong. Right. Exactly. It's unbelievable. I mean, the fact that there are still people debating whether or not climate change exists and this administration has done nothing to make us feel better about the future, has it?
Absolutely not. I mean, the position this administration has taken in just reeling back regulations, which are frankly not sufficient in themselves, but to then do away with that stuff. I just don't understand when we see the kind of forest fires that we see in California, even the heat waves that are here in New York. I mean, we expect the number of days over 90 degrees to triple here in New York City within the next 10 years. Sea levels are rising. Florida is really in deep trouble at this point, as are other parts of the United States and the rest of the world. The forest fires in Alaska, I was just listening to NPR, crop productions in the United States have dropped 15% this year alone because of the heavy smoke in the air. And that is, in fact, caused by the huge drought conditions in California, Alaska, and frankly, other places around the world as well. It's a huge, huge problem. And it's going to impact all of us as a labor union. It's going to impact us in our work, and it's going to impact us in our homes and our neighborhoods.
John Foster is the co-chair of the DC 37 Climate Justice Committee. That's September 6th at 5:30 p.m. Tell us again very quickly.
That'll be the march in Battery Park in Lower Manhattan, and it is the We Rise for Climate, Jobs, and Justice.
Thank you very much, John. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. Joining us by phone now is Newsday political guru Dan Janison. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you because I was watching, I spent the last, you know, a good chunk of last night and the night before watching. It's been a very weird week for Donald Trump, but it's yet another weird week for Donald Trump. And I'm watching the Beltway, Inside the Beltway guys talking about, you know, things, presidential things, and the inside business of Washington, D.C., and how D.C. reacts to Trump. And I just needed to talk to my old friend Dan about, you know, what are they talking? New Yorkers have known forever about this guy. And this guy, this was always what this presidency was going to be. We tried to warn them. They didn't listen. Right?
Yeah, it's kind of you took the Donald Trump of the 1990s and the 1980s and the tabloids and all the ridiculous showiness and you stuck it in the White House, and then we started to talk about how he was pivoting.
Right.
Remember pivoting? He's pivoting to presidential. This is the moment he became presidential. Whatever the heck that means.
Right, right. And it never happened. I mean, and people kept watching and being amazed that these things were happening and that he wasn't making, as you say, the pivot.
Right. Of all people, it was Ted Cruz, the Texan, who called him during the debate the P.T. Barnum of American politics. And that's what he was, and that's what he continues to be.
And yet, I mean, do you have any thoughts about how he, when you're looking back on it now, he went up against 16 candidates. I think it was 16. It may have been more than 16. But there were 16 Republicans who wanted to be president besides Donald Trump, and he beat them all. Is that a comment about the party? Is that a comment about those candidates? Is that a comment about Donald Trump?
I don't. No.
Okay.
There was a, you know, I part of the explanation, and this will be, you know, this will be fodder for analysis for generations, but I think part of the explanation is that everybody expected the Republicans to lose.
Right.
Everybody in inside politics saw Clinton at this tremendous advantage, even when she got into trouble. And right up until Election Day, there was a widespread expectation that the Republicans would lose. And I wonder if that wasn't part of the psychology going in, that this was going to be a stab, that the Republicans wound up with him saying, boy, we like the way he attracts attention. Let's give him a shot.
Right, right, right. Right.
But and there was nothing in principle that would prevent him from going down the tubes. Look at figure a few thousand votes had shifted in key electoral states. Now the Republican establishment, all the Republican officials will be saying, boy, in 2020, we better not have another Donald Trump.
Right, right, right. And that would be, they would. I remember after Obama won re-election, Fox News, my favorite 2 weeks of watching Fox News was listening to these pundits talk about how the Republican Party had to change and become a wider,
right.
Throw a wider net and be more inclusive and show that it likes people as much as the
right.
Democrats. And then Donald Trump went the other way and decided to double down on anger.
Right. Most of the Republican Congress, I think, was prepared for a Clinton presidency. I don't think they saw her as an ideological threat at all. And so again, you know, you're dealing with something where the expectations kind of, you know, drive what happened. Also, an important thing to remember is, you know, we were going to get another Bush-Clinton race. And lots and lots of people were saying, oh, not Bush bad. Against Clinton right. again. Oh, my God.
Right, right.
And so the Republicans removed the Bush part.
Right.
And they left and they left the sighing on the Democratic side and other Clinton administrations. So that was kind of an interesting dynamic.
We've got a few more minutes left. Do you remember covering Trump when he was just Trump?
No, I remember ignoring him.
Oh.
assiduously because he was, I was trying to cover politics and
right.
he was just a sideshow.
Right.
And he would scream for attention and, this and that would happen. In Long Island, the coverage was certainly all about his very unpopular proposal to build this gaudy catering hall on Jones Beach.
Oh, that's right. I've forgotten all about that. That did not work.
There was a lot of community opposition. One of the people who opposed it ended up one of his and they won out in the end. Certainly after Sandy, the thing was, or it might have been the earlier Irene. After one of the storms, it was clear that the thing was going to die a natural death. But
who was the opponent?
One of the opponents wound up very, very vigorously endorsing him.
And who was that? Is that
it was a woman named Pat Friedman. Oh. She's just a community activist, and I asked her. It's like, well, after all this, why would you do that? Well, I don't want to have to select English when I get the switchboard.
Ugh. Appealing to the better nature of all of us.
Well, he had. A certain appeal among certain people. So it was almost as if the fight over the beach was a sideshow.
Dan Janison is the political guru of Newsday.
Oh boy,
that's what I'm going to call you from now on. And once again, we have scratched our heads for a few minutes about what the heck is going on. Dan, thank you very much for being with us, and you'll be on again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. That's just about all the time we have on DC 37 State of the Union for this week. Just want to give you a reminder that the Municipal Employees Legal Services reminds you that they provide legal representation to members when applying for citizenship. For more information, please call 212-815-1818. That just about wraps it up. I want to thank my guests, Raul Rodriguez from the Office of Community Partnerships, and John Foster, who's dealing with climate change, and Dan Janison from Newsday. Remember, if you've got any comments about today's program or any of our shows, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. We appreciate your feedback. The producer is Rudy Orozco. The engineer is Andrea Minocchio. I'm Chris Policano. Until next time, ciao.